I just want to very quickly get on to the sermon today. The sermon entitled The Wake Up Call. You know, we all live in a world that is very much twisted. And we oftentimes shake our heads and ask this question, what has the world become? And I just sat back and just ponder and think through many times, not only reading the news, but constantly reading articles after articles, and even hearing the news, I couldn't help it, but I thought to myself that we are living in a social madness, where conscience are not very clear, they're melting away. Evil to me cannot be trivialized. I do see even the time when people protest, it got out of real. They protest without much logical reasons. And the people who rivals and at the party, having a party is supposed to be a good time, but at the end, you see people fighting, even at McDonald's. And not only that, we also hear news about road bullies, isn't it? Because a lot of road bullies are very much swollen with pride. And also at the same time, the sad part is about relationship. People begin to have a sour relationship. They get so envious and jealous because they got rejected. Some of them claim to have mental disturbances after committing a crime, and the court of law accepts it. We see abject behavior, poor behavior. I begin to see predatory world that is attacking. And we also see in a global sense, there are mad doctors. I hope not in Australia. Mad doctors marketing organs just merely for profits. Human trafficking, basically not only for prostitution, but also for marketing organs. We live in a very shameless society. There are many people walking along the street naked without much shame. They can run in the field and throw off their pants and shirt. And I was looking at those news and I said, what a shame. But unfortunately, there are people who do not feel the shame. Do you know shame is a good thing? When there is no shame in us, we tend to ignore the bad things. So evil transactions begin to take place. There are excessive selfishness. There are excessive egomaniac people showing and expressing their lives. Contortion of friendship, not real. Very few people truly care much about others. Simply means we are living in a fractured world today. A fractured moral world. And it's constantly tearing the fabric of the society apart. Yes, I must conclude, we live in a twisted world. The consequence indeed has caused the world to live in an unrest. You and I see what you see. You and I know what we know. And we are all correct. It is a corrupted world. It is a very bad world. We live in the insane news. We also live in fake news that it covers up the real news that we need to know. And many a time people are unwilling to acknowledge the widespread of evil. And they say it's not good to talk about it behind the pulpit. But church, face the reality. Can I tell you that? Face the reality, because there is a greater reality that can overcome this reality. We need to know what is taking place. People don't see any more desire for reason. No more logical reason. So what has the world become? And today I want to take you to this passage found in Jeremiah in chapter 8 and verse 18 right up to chapter 9. And I will only read until verse 1. But subsequent to that, I'm going to continue right up to verse 6. But as we read from verse 18 in chapter 8, please follow with me as Jeremiah had recorded this event, and some of us would have read this, may not fully understand this passage because it actually involves a conversation between Jeremiah and God himself. And there are statements stated here are God's statement, and they are not Jeremiah's statement. So please follow with me as we go along with that. In verse 18, you who are comfort, my comforter, in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they aroused my anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Today's passage will probably help you to listen to the cry of Jeremiah, listen to the disappointment expressed by God, and also listen to the assumption of the people who has just made their statements. And I want you to see a little bit of background so that you can fully understand the passage that I've just read. Now, Jeremiah has preached for 40 years. He has actually preached longer than I do. I only preached for 35 years, but he has preached for 40 years. But during his time of service to the Lord, we understand that Judah has become a very weak nation. Now listen to this. When Judah become a weak nation, that's where the problem begins. Am I right or not? And they were surrounded by Egypt, Assyria, and also Babylon. Jeremiah came from a priestly family. He has a great fear of God in his heart. It all started way back when he was young. Because Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 tells me that he was called when he was in the mother's womb. How about that? Amen? He was called while he was in the mother's womb. Some of us are called after, but this one was called when he was in the mother's womb. Because verse 5 says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I've appointed you a prophet unto the nations. God has designated this man to be his servant. You see, Jeremiah understood God when he came out from the belly of the mother. He understood God. And some of us, we oftentimes say, oh, I don't understand God. You know why? Because God is not real to you. When God is not real, that's the problem. We have difficulty trying to understand. Jeremiah understood because he has such a closeness and a sensitivity towards God's presence. Because God is real to him. Now we will see how real God is today in the midst of this uncivilized world. Jeremiah gave his life to serve God, and his very mission was to preach to the people in Judah to come back to God. But you know something? They actually were told that they have done wrong and sinned and need to repent, but they refused. If you read the whole Jeremiah, the word sin was repeated 30 times. He keeps saying about their sin, their sin, their sin. And the Bible tells us that the people rebel. They rebel because they thought, hey, we are in Jerusalem. We go into the temple of God. How can we not be saved? Jeremiah's message, as Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 10 tells me this, that the word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. Some of us, we may not like hard messages. Isn't it true? Amen. For 10 over years, somebody said, that's a good message. Amen? That's a good message. How many of you agree? Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm not getting very popular with this message, but it's okay. The Bible says people take offense. No apologies. That's right. But Jeremiah made the declaration. He made a wake-up call. He decided that people should wake up. He saw the problem. He was not oblivious about the problem. He knew what the problem were. But the people ignored the problem. Now, brothers and sisters, the closer you are to God, your vision in God becomes clearer. And Jeremiah pointed out a solution. But the whole entire nation was unwilling to do so. Telling them to admit their problem, repent, but they refuse. Jeremiah started addressing the problem. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 3 to 11. Yes, it is a long passage, but let me read to you a few lines so that you probably grasp some of this situation that is taking place right there. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words. And say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. And he goes on, and verse 11 says, has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I've been watching. How many of you know that God is always watching? Amen? Because He is a living God. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He watches over us. And He watches our steps. Every time when we move astray, He will take us back. But sometimes we rejected His hands. You know what's a problem there? The people were shouting, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Their reliance was on the temple and not on God. Today, when I sit in the bus and I talk to somebody who comes from another church, they will talk about how big the church is. You see, friends, God is not interested for you to talk about how big the church is. God is more interested about you talking about who great God is. You know what I'm talking about. And this is the problem. The problem is that they were very confident that as long as they are in God's temple, they are saved. Jeremiah spoke in verse 18. Look at verse 18 and 19. It says in 18, it says, you who are my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Jeremiah is now saying, God, my heart is now crushed. My spirit is crushed. I'm lamenting. I'm lamenting over the situation. And while Jeremiah was lamenting, turn to verse 19 now. He says, God interrupted him. God interrupted. He says, listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is the king no longer there? Why have they aroused my anger with their images and with their worthless foreign idols? You know what God is saying to Jeremiah? Listen, Jeremiah, why are you lamenting? You see, the problem is the disobedient nation was saying, isn't God here? Why God is not with us? And God exposed them and told them, you arouse, you provoke my anger with all your images and with the worthless foreign idols. Did you hear them saying? Did you hear them saying, is the Lord not in Zion? Is the king no longer there? They were making an assumption, my brothers and sisters. They were making an assumption that the Lord is present in Jerusalem and will watch over them. Oh, they will say, as long as I go to church, as long as I do every rituals and every activity, I will be saved. Nobody is saved in the church unless Jesus saves them. Because He is the Savior. If you want to give a clap offering, come on, give Him a good one. Today, we begin to see that these people brought in worthless images into the nation. My question today to you, what have you brought into your home? What have you brought into the society? What have you brought into the church of Jesus Christ? God is telling Jeremiah, do you notice this? They provoked me because they brought idolatry into the nation. Today, how many of us have brought in fear into the home? We brought in anxiety into the home. We brought in a poverty mindset into the home. We brought in solid or tainted lifestyle into the home. We are growing not steady family. We are growing confused family. Because we live differently from what we profess. And that's why God says, aren't they taking for granted? Have they not provoked me by what they brought into the home? And we say, Lord, I prayed, but why are you not answering me? Lord, I prayed for new things, but why are you not giving me new things? We ask these questions, but we need to ask another question. What have we brought into the house where we live? What have we brought into the society where we lived? And I could literally sense in my spirit that the lesser the word of God is brought and deposited into the home, there will be an open door for worldliness to seep in. The word of God is like a fence. The word of God is like a hedge around you. But when we don't have the word, we will open up doors for worldliness. We have taken God for granted. Many of us, we become complacent. We become very much routine in our activities without realizing it, the importance of those things. Sometimes we are very careless. We walk out of the boundaries of God's grace. And we continue to live on as though things will be okay. But church, can I say this to you? Don't take God for granted. Can I say that again? Don't take God for granted. He is watching. Sometimes we return to the life of sin. Some people, they go back into gambling. They go back into abusive expenditures of life. They want to spend sophisticated things for themselves. Sometimes they have emotional abuse. And then they have slandering. They talk about people behind each other's back whom they dislike. If we are so concerned about who you like and who do you dislike, I tell you, we have small brains. Seriously, we have small brains. People with big heart don't think about that. They will do all that is right before God. You know what the people responded in verse 20? He says, the harvest is past. This is what the people said. Listen, this is not what Jeremiah said. This is not what God said. This is what the people said. He says, the harvest is past. The summer has ended and we are not saved. You know what he's saying in that verse? He says, everything is all right, but why are we still having problems? We live in the temple that establishes the name of God. But why are we surrounded by the enemies? And God told them, while they were praying, their lives were not changed. Can I say that one more time? While they were praying, their lives were not changed. They said, God, have mercy on me. But when they go out, their lives are still the same. Some of you probably said, well, I followed my wife, I followed my husband, I followed my parents to church. Why is it that my problems are not solved? It is very important that we realize, even the New Testament tells us, the acts of flesh that are activating in our lives in Galatians chapter 5. And I won't read that. You've probably seen it before, but there are lists of all the activities of the flesh, immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. And you thought those big few things, I don't practice them. But hatred, hatred is a common situation in the society of mankind. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and many more. These activities are in our bloodstream that we have not given up or renounced and asked the Lord to crucify the flesh. Otherwise, the hedges will not be around us, but it will be broken. Brothers and sisters, the people, when they heard this, they refused to hear Jeremiah's message. Perhaps some of us here may be saying, I don't think that message is for me. But because they refuse to change, the issue is because they refuse to change according to God's words. And the Lord spoke through Jeremiah that because they refuse to change and they keep declaring, everything is okay, the harvest is over, summer is over, but why are we not saved? God, we came to the temple, your temple, your house, but why are we still not saved? You know why they said that? Because at the earlier part of their lives, in Isaiah chapter 36 and 37, God did miracles. God did a miracle and saved the nation from the hands of the Assyrians. That was during King Hezekiah. So they thought, hey, God has done it before. He saved us before. It's okay. We know God will save us again. I believe God can save us again. However, are we changed? That's why Jeremiah went on to record this in verse 21 and 22. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Jeremiah was crushed within, and he expressed that again. Not only lamented, but now completely crushed. And he said this word, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? When I start reading the passage, it's like, no, Jeremiah was crushed because the people were not ready for God's healing. Listen to this. Listen to this. God availed his healing power to his children. Somebody say amen. And yet, the people are not ready to seek his face. When God desires to touch our life with his goodness, yet we are not ready to come before him and seek his face. We just sang a beautiful song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Why do folks today go about saying that there's no healing when a healing is available in Jesus' name? Just had a testimony. It's real. When you're in a situation like this, man, you want to jump up and rejoice, isn't it true? But many of us are so afraid even to clap our hands and rejoice with our sister. We're so afraid. Why? Okay, that's one testimony. No, it's not just a testimony. It's the testimony of God's healing power. Amen? Is the Church of Jesus Christ excited for the Lord? Am I preaching to myself? Hallelujah. And some of us may say, well, but Pastor, I've been having this sickness for a long time. It doesn't matter, because Paul also had a problem with a long time. He had a thorn in the flesh. I too have a lot of thorns in my flesh. Not only sickness, sometimes can be people too, isn't it? It's a pain to my anatomy. Did I hear an outstanding voice today? Yes, it's true. We need to learn to see that God can do miraculous work. Why are we not imploring? Why are we not appealing to the miracle working God to do His work of miracle in this house? Why are we not imploring and seeking God to bring in new souls to be saved in the name of Jesus? Because Jesus is the only Savior. Come on. Oh, man. Last few days, I have a dry throat, and I was wondering whether I could go through with the preaching or not. I quickly pop in all the vitamins I have. Vitamin C, 5. 1 hour later, another 5 vitamin C. You know why? Sorry? That's why I'm glowing, yeah. You know why? Because this message is a message for everyone. Why are we not earnestly seeking God for deliverance? Why are we not coming to the house of God where His name is established when the people of God gather together? The Bible says, call upon Him, call upon His name from heaven. He will hear us. Why are we not gathering together? But today, the contemporary Christian is this. Come as I like, when it is convenient. When I grew up as a Christian, we come to church because that was a command from God. The gathering of the saints was something that was required of us. There was such a gathering where we believed that the faith of the people will arise and bring greater glory to His name. But today, it's not the same anymore. Therefore, I echo Jeremiah's words. There is a declaration for a wake-up call. There is one question. What does it take for God's people to wake up? I remember when my kids were very young, and they're all sleeping in one room, one single bed, one queen-size bed, put together, all my three kids sleep there. And when it's time to go to church and they're still not up yet, I put water on my hand and I'll go right to their face and rub on their face and wake them up. But I rub it on their face and Brian would, but he still sleep. The rest will wake up. Oh, so I got to get some more water, and this time around, I pour on his head. Praise God for that. Wonderful Father. Amen. You teach your children to wake up early for service. Somebody say amen. And you know what? It's never in vain. Today, I get to see them in the house of God, serving the Lord, honoring God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Because sooner or later, when they have their children, they will have to teach them too. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see, you don't let the children to stop you from coming to church early. Some people say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, I cannot because my children get up late. What's happening to our parents today? We let the children dictate our parents? Oh, my goodness. What do you bring to the house of God? What do you bring to your family? You don't teach your children to dictate you. You tell them what is good for them. And you never regret. I can truly say that. Now listen, what does it take for God to wake His people up? Look at 9 and verse 4 to 6. Beware of your friends. Ugh, I don't like this. I got so many good friends. You think so? And it says this. Beware of your friends. Do not trust anyone in your clan. For every one of them is a, ooh. Somebody say, ouch. And every friend, say another ouch, please. Oh, friend deceives friend. Come on. Say to your neighbor, that is a big ouch. Okay. Those who do not want to say because you are a deceiver yourself, hey. And no one speaks the truth. Oh, my Lord. They have taught, I didn't know that. You can teach your tongue to lie.
Record it down, right?
Amen. They weary themselves with sinning. We live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares the Lord. Jeremiah is saying to all of us, we are surrounded by a lot of friends. And he says, stop lying to yourself. Jeremiah is saying this, stop lying to yourself. You know, sometimes people never understood when I said certain things, not good things, but a pre-admonition, pre-warning that certain individuals can be a problem. I did that at one time about a couple. I told the people, I said, stay away from them because they are like a leopard that can never change its spots. And I didn't know that one of my staff was not very happy what I said. So I left for Melbourne. I'm doing my work. I'm just working hard to raise up a church. And one day I traveled back, and that was after several years later. He invited me for coffee. And I said, sure, why not? You know, it's always good to catch up with my ex-staff members. And then he started to tell me this. He said, Pastor, I want to apologize to you. I said, what? What did you do? So he said, no, you remember the couple, Pastor? And this and that, that and this and that, that and this. And I said, okay. He said, Pastor, when you told us, I did not agree because I thought you had been very harsh. Okay. Thanks for your honest opinion. I said, you know what? My statement is this. Don't prove I am right. That's the only thing I'll tell you. Don't prove that I am right. Because when you prove that I'm right, you will regret. Because you will suffer the same consequence, which I already forewarned. And true enough, he suffered under this person or couple's situation. They caused a split in his church. Sometimes we grow deep enough in the Word to know by looking at the characteristics, and we know what can happen. But I can be proven wrong as long as the person repents. I believe mankind are given the chance to repent. I'm not going to say that I'm always right. If the person repents, I will be wrong in my previous statement. But if the person doesn't repent, then you know I smile and I say, yeah, you go, I'm right. It's very, very dangerous because people have taught their tongues to lie. Jeremiah says, stop lying to yourself. Be honest today. We live in the world of deception. You don't even know the truth by just seeing at one go. You know, I used to rent houses when I was single and studying, you know, in the college, and we moved from my house. And that's one thing I do learn. You never know the person until you live with the person. Am I right or not? Amen. Praise the Lord. I get to know a lot about my wife. Somebody say amen. Because when I start living with my wife, I learn a lot. I learned so much so that I realized when I got married, I married a medical doctor. Yeah, she's also a dietitian, by the way. Hey, you eat too much. You're supposed to eat so little. Oh. You're not feeling well. Better take Panadol. I got medical doctor in my house. Aha! Durian, you cannot touch. My wife has learned to flow with me. Amen. You see, when you live together, you get to learn a lot more things, isn't it, right? When I married her, I never knew she was a medical doctor and dietitian or nutrition. Never know. Until I got married. Wow. Yeah. And not only that, I realized that even the clothes that I wear, she can even tell me that's not a good color. She's an expert in matching my colors too now. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. All right. Happy married because you got a happy wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. No wonder Michael Hong is always smiling. Praise God. Amen. But listen to this. He says, when there is a deception, it simply means there is no truth. And this is the situation. Look at the next slide. The situation is that in our postmodern world today, our first casualty is that people live by their own truth. They have a distorted view of God. They have a distorted view of the world. So in this most postmodern era, we hear all kinds of lies. We hear in the corporate world where they promise you all sorts of things, but within a short period of time, you will be fired. In the political world, we are very familiar with promises, isn't it true? But it never comes to pass. In the social media, it's even worse. We see lies after lies. They put things that are not even there. Because today, you not only have Photoshop, you could even change the whole video. You could put someone there when the person is not even there. What an amazing thing technology does, right? But the abuse of the technology has caused a lot of misunderstanding. It's very dangerous. In marriage, there are so many promises. And many of young girls today are so gullible. Oh, my Lord. When they hear a man speaks, oh, my God. Oh, man, they weep and say, oh, his voice is so beautiful. When he talks to me, he shows so much concern for me. He talks to me and he every time calls me and tell me, how am I? Oh, he's so touching. Yeah. A lot of sweet talk, but it's very dangerous. That's why we always say, before you find somebody, you better get your parents' blessing. Get your parents' blessing, seriously. And if you can't get the parents' blessing, come and see the pastor. Somebody say, amen. Amen. You all agree with that? How many of you agree? Come on. Okay. Praise the Lord. Which one? The parent or the pastor? Which one? Praise God. But I'm going to ask you one question. How many of you here today like someone to lie to you? If you do not want people to lie to you, please don't lie to others. Are you with me? Please don't lie to others. How do we go about living our life with lies inside us? You know how? We constantly justify our own wrongdoings. It's okay, we said. It's all right. And the famous word that we had in our seniors' Bible study, oh, God understands. God understands. A lot of us are very prone with that. Don't worry, God understands. God is not going to punish me. God won't punish you, but He wants to convict you. And He wants to correct you. Because this is a God who doesn't allow all these wrongdoings to continue. He wants to make all the necessary correction. But the problem is, we justify it because we refuse correction. So you know what is the real problem? It's lies. There is a need for us to wake up from the lies. Because the world needs the truth. Somebody say amen. And God will unmask all our lies. The God that I serve, the God that you serve, demands truth from us. It's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. How can I live my life with lies within me? Lies and truth does not go hand in hand. Somebody has to get out. And I pray that lies will get out of us. Truth must prevail. Then only you see liberty and freedom in your heart. I tell you honestly, when I start walking in the Lord, I have so much liberty, I can sleep well because there is no lies. Living with God requires us to tell the truth and live by the truth. That's why the Lord says, worship God in spirit and in truth. So what does it take to make us wake up? What does it really take? Let me conclude today. We need the revelation of our own insufficiency. We need to know that we cannot fix everything by ourselves. We need to be real about our weaknesses. We can't say to people, don't worry, no worries, everything is fine. That's a pure lie. When things go wrong, says, can you please pray with me? When things doesn't seem to be in order, come together, talk to your parents, talk to the pastor, talk to the leaders. Can you please pray with me? People need to humble themselves. Did you hear what I just said? People need to humble themselves. I tell you why. Because pride doesn't not follow instructions. When we say A, they decided to do otherwise. Pride cannot be corrected. Oh, no, no, you don't understand, you know. You don't understand what I go through. This is a situation. It's very tight. I need to do what I need to do, but you are wrong. You need to be corrected so that things may be made right. Jacob had to wrestle with God. I say this again. Jacob had to wrestle with God. And God had to break his hip. So then he become from a self-sufficient person to become a dependent on God person. Why are we not depending on God? Why are we not living with his sufficiency rather than our own self-sufficiency? You see, when you live in your own self-sufficiency, listen to this, there will be so little respect for authorities. There will be so little respect for elders. There will be so little respect for people. And that's why we need a wake-up call. The society has no respect for older people. They see an older person, they go and rob and snatch. Why? Because they are self-sufficient people filled with a prideful heart in them. Nobody can correct them. They challenge the authorities. Brothers and sisters, can I give you the key solution to this greatest wake-up call that the whole world needs to know? The whole nation needs to know. And it's taken in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And I'm going to read this verse. And I want you to follow very closely as I close this meeting. And it says, if my people who are called by my name, do you know whom is he addressing to? He's addressing to you and to me. He's not addressing to the world. He's addressing to the people of God. If my people who are called by my name, and it says, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Somebody say amen. But you know what's the most powerful thing? Before you pray, before you seek the Lord, before you turn from your wicked ways, the very first thing is to humble yourself. When we are not humbling ourselves, you can pray all you want. You can say, I seek God. And you can say, I want to repent. You can never repent because you're not humbling yourself. You know what I'm talking about. People tell me, says, oh, I want to repent because I did so many wrong things. Did you repent? You only said it once. But did you humble yourself and admit that truly I have sinned against God? And then if you say that, you say, Lord, I come and pray and seek your face and turn from all my wicked ways. And the Lord promises, then, after all that is done, then I will hear from heaven. Oh, some of you are not there yet. Some of you are not there yet. I will forgive. He says, I will forgive. Somebody say amen. And I will heal your land. I believe God is in the business of healing. Isn't it true? I believe God is in the business of forgiving. Forgiveness came before healing took place. But after all that, we often ask, why is God not answering my prayer? Did we humble ourselves? That is the very first thing. And I pray the wake-up call for every single soul, the body of Christ in this nation, is to humble themselves and not brag and boast about the temple of God when the lives are not changed, when the lives are not transformed. Even as we are together as a body of Christ, we cannot be bragging and say, I have the best worship. Yeah, a lot of people declare that. I say, thank God for good worship. I was just talking to a minister today, just a few days ago, and he was just sharing with me some of the situation that he was going through, and he says some of his worship team members would come when they are on duty, but when they are not on duty, they are not in the service. When I heard that, I said, wow, you know what I would do? Sit down with the worship team. Buck up, my friend. If you want to be there in the worship, how many of you know that this whole team doesn't claim their rights? It is a privilege. Are you with me? This is not your rights. Oh, I have every right to play. No, it's your privilege. And with that, I conclude at the end of the day, the whole body of Christ need to humble themselves. Amen? We need to humble ourselves. We can't be saying, well, I'm not playing, so I'm not going to come. That's my rights. That's not your rights. That's not your rights. That's the privilege. I thank God for this church. Somebody say amen. We take time to grow. We take time to assimilate certain individuals. We take time because we want the people who plays knows that it is a privilege. We want to honor God. Amen? Let there be a wake-up call for this body of Christ. Humble yourself. Before I get the church to pray and seek the face of the Lord, humble yourself. And say, without you, Lord, I cannot do it. Lord, I am not sufficient enough without your presence. Lord, in my life, there is no strength, but you are my strength, Lord. Lord, when I play, I know the anointing only comes from you, not from my skill, not from my talent, but your anointing, Father. Lord, I pray, God, I can never touch anyone's life and allow the Holy Spirit to break the bondage. Only you can do it, Lord. And I'm going to play according to that anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Father, I humble myself. That's what the church needs to come today. The whole entire nation, the body of Christ, if they have compromised, I want to say repent, humble yourself, and not compromise with the living Word of God. Because the Word of God is alive, is all powerful. And church, let us fight for the truth. Let the truth remain in this house. Amen. So that we can bring greater glory to His name. Is the church willing to humble themselves? And then I will say, come and pray and seek God's face. I believe God is ready to forgive us and heal us. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.